glimpse of what's to come. Spring is coming. Spring is here. Spring weather is coming. Had no choice. But God is not a man that he should lie. He said the season will change. As long as the earth is here. And so we know it's going to happen.
Yes, we do.
And we should feel the same way. You know, so even if it's delayed, and I was even in the store yesterday, and they were talking about rain and snow again. And so even if they talk about those things, it's still coming. And you know, that's how we should feel about all the promises of God, even those promises that are slow in coming in our lives. It may seem like it's not coming, just like it seems like spring's not coming. But if we know, like now, we know spring's going to come. The weather's going to change. Summer's going to come because God made that promise. We know that. We didn't have to debate it. It should be the same thing with all the promises of God.
Yes.
The ones that we're waiting for. I mean, shame on us if we can believe in weather changing, but we can't believe in our life changing.
Amen.
Because the same God who changes the weather can bring change in your life.
Right.
So it's just shame on us. If we can believe that, but don't believe the thing that matters more.
Amen.
Yep.
So we believe God. That's the thing. You believe God, we believe God, then we have to believe Him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't believe Him over here, but not believe Him over there. Believe Him and don't ask any questions over here. But over here, you got all these questions. I know you said it, Lord, but nothing. But what? Finish your sentence. What are you going to tell God? I know you said it, Lord, but what are you going to say after that? I've been waiting a long time. That kind of attitude, no wonder you've been waiting a long time. You're going to wait some more until you remove the but. Amen. So we believe God. Amen.
Amen.
Whether for small, big things. And it's just an encouragement for us to hang in there for those things that are slow and coming in our lives. Mm-hmm. It's the same God. Amen. The same God who brings the change in the seasons and can bring a change in the season in your life too. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So let's, amen. If we can tonight turn to the Gospel of John chapter 14 as we are approaching Easter Sunday. Amen. And coming off of Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Save now. Folk can't be putting off getting saved. Amen. Hosanna. Save now.
Amen.
Now faith is. Right? Now is the accepted time. God is speaking in a now voice. Amen. It's now. And, you know, the enemy loves to talk about later. Remember we were talking about Pharaoh typifies the enemy? Mm-hmm. That when, you know, and how the enemy always comes after you, after he lets you go. And Pharaoh did that. And so we know if the enemy lets us go out of anything, he's going to come back, try to put us back in. But the putting off of until tomorrow, that's the enemy too. Because remember, Pharaoh said the same thing. He said, get these frogs out of the land. And so Moses said, okay, we'll get the frogs out of the land. When do you want them out? Tomorrow. See, Pharaoh didn't say now.
Mm-hmm.
See, because people of faith talk now. People who aren't acting in faith talk tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to break the habit tomorrow. You know what I mean? But people of faith talk in terms of now. And so that's what we want to talk in. Amen. So if somebody's saying they're going to get their life together later, no, you got to tell them, listen, this is a faith thing, and faith is now. This is a God thing, and God is now.
Amen.
Amen. God is here now. And so we want to encourage other people, encourage ourselves, amen, that we do things now. Amen. There's no time like present. So we're in John chapter 14. I want to read from verse 15 and read down a little ways. The words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, beginning at verse number 15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Amen.
Amen.
And let's pray. Father, to you we give the praise, to you we give the glory and the honor for being God. And Lord, we come before you tonight, we bow down before you humbly, Lord, and ask you to speak unto us words of life. Father, we desire to hear your voice. We desire, O God, to receive revelation. And so, Father, we ask that you will speak unto us with clarity. And God, just give us what we need. Father, we thank you that you know where we stand right now. You know the things that are before us. You know the things that are beside us. You know the things, God, that are trying to keep us from moving forward in you. So, Father, give us a word, O God, that can cover all of those situations and more, that we can walk closer with you and that your perfect will may be done in our lives. Father, we bless you right now by faith because we believe all of it is done and more as you pour out of your Spirit and bless us with your word. So right now we give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to come to verse 19, amen, where Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." And consider that for a moment or two. But before we do that, I want to look at a couple of the verses beforehand. In verse number 15, it can't get much simpler. Amen. "You love me, keep my commandments." Amen. "I love the Lord and I won't take it back. I love the Lord and I won't take it back. I love the Lord and I won't take it back. He has been so good to me. I say unto you, forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7. I can't forgive them, Lord. They hurt me too bad. But I love the Lord, and I won't take it back." Sorry, Jesus said, "No, you don't." Amen. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Amen.
Amen.
"And the commandments of the Lord are not grievous." Amen. "They're not burdensome." And so there's no, we are without excuse. So he makes that plan. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Amen. Another comforter. And it's so interesting. Today, I was reading in Sparkling Gems from the Greek, and it was on this very verse, and I didn't realize that until I was reading this later on for a Bible study, that I said, hey, here we are again in the same verse. And what Rick Renner was talking about in this for John 14 and 16 was this word, another. And he said that really what this means is one exactly like me. And he said that because you could say sometimes another, like another, you know, it's like, you know, it's somewhat like me, but it's a little bit different. You know what I mean? You know, like, you know, you can go and, you know, if you have a car and you take it to the dealer because it needs to be serviced and they give you a loaner.
Right.
Well, they gave you another car, but it's not exactly like the car you have.
Right.
Well, they can give you another car and it's exactly like the one you have. But when Jesus said another comforter, he wasn't just talking another that but somehow was different from me. You're going to get someone just like me.
Wow.
And it was brought up today in the reading in the context of saying, believers today should not be sad or should not say things like they wish they were around when Jesus was walking around. Because how great that would have been. And he said, we should never say that, because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And Jesus said that the Comforter who was coming was just like him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember how he said the Spirit is not going to speak of himself. He's only going to speak what he hears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to, you and I don't have to imagine what it must have been like to walk with Jesus. Because if you're walking with the Spirit every day, it was just like that. And he told the disciples that because, you know, they must have been wondering that when he starts to tell them, I'm going to be crucified and I go to my Father. They must have thought, you know, man, what are we going to do now? And he was encouraging them by saying, I'm going to send you another Comforter, someone just like me. The only thing is, you're not going to see him. Right? But he's going to live on the inside of each one of you. The Amplified Version, if you have it, you can read along with me, of verse 16. And by the way, this shows the oneness of the Godhead, even though it's three persons. Because Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he's just like me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
That's what he says of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like me. And then he says, he has said earlier, if you see me, right, you've seen the Father. So what's he saying? If you see me, you see the Father. Why? Because I'm just like him.
Wow.
And when I'm gone, I'm going to send you another Comforter who's just like me. But if the Comforter is just like Jesus, and Jesus is just like the Father, then the Comforter must also be like the Father. You see, so three persons, but there's no schism. There's no break. There's no division. And if you just put the scriptures together, you see that. Yes, three persons, but they're all the same. And again, that's one of those things with three people all the same. Yeah, we can't wrap our natural minds around that. But as we look at the Word of God, which is Spirit and Life, we can see it. And we can see Jesus. He said it.
Mm-hmm.
We just put it together. But now, if we look in the Amplified Version of verse number 16. Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter. And in parenthesis, it says, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby. So, when we receive the Holy Spirit, right, we receive a Comforter, a Counselor, a Helper, an Intercessor, an Advocate, a Strengthener, and a Standby.
Wow.
That should encourage us right there. So when I walk with the Holy Spirit, he will, so if I'm discomforted, if I'm upset, he will comfort me. Is that good news? Yes, it is. He's a Counselor. So if I need some advice, he can do that too. Forget calling my friend. How many Christians call unsaved friends too for advice? And you have that Counselor living on the inside. Watch this. And then he's a Helper. How many people ever need help? Well, you got it. Where is it? Right on the inside of us. He's an Intercessor. How many times do other people pray for me? He's already praying for you. I mean, did you see this? How so many of our needs are met? He's an Advocate. What does an Advocate do? He argues and fights your cause. Then it says he's a Strengthener. You ever feel weak and tired? Well, the Holy Spirit does what? Give you strength. And then it says he's a standby. And standby don't mean like you waiting on a plane to see if you're going to get a seat. I'm flying standby. No, standby means exactly what it says. He stands by you. Amen? That means he's close. He's near. He comes alongside. Meaning what? Never alone. Because he's a standby. Where are you standing? I'm standing over there. Well, he's standing by you. Right? He's there. So look at all these things that we have in the Holy Spirit and more. Isn't that an encouragement? But we have to realize it. We have to think, you know what I mean? We have to meditate on it. We have to look at scriptures like this and realize when the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, we got all of this. A comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. And Jesus said that he may remain with you forever. Always with us. Amen. That's good news right there. That's lift up your hands right there. That's thank you, Jesus, right there. Because he's all of those things for us. Amen. I was in my so funny. I love the Lord. You remember last week, I don't know where I said it. Maybe it was in Bible study, or maybe it was Sunday school. Maybe it was in the sermon. So I don't know if I said it to any of you or all of you. Amen. But I remember I said I was in the gym and the trainer had messed up his knee. And I said to him, I'm going to be praying for you as I was leaving. And before I hit the door, God said, no, go back and pray for him now. And so I went back and I prayed for him, you know, and then I left. And, you know, I saw him 2 days later and he was moving around better. And, you know, so today I go to class. And before the class, I had bowed my head. I'm just, you know, I'm sort of bending down. Like, you know, how you say? Not bending over, but you know how you just sort of bend down like that? I'm just waiting for the class to begin. I had done my warm-up and everything, so I'm just bending down. And I just dropped my head, and I was praying. I was praying for strength to get me through the workout. This lady who's next to me says, she either said, praying ain't going to help you now. Or praying, she said, praying ain't going to help. That's what she said, yeah. She said, praying ain't going to help. And she's a nice lady, you know, we have different conversations, you know what I mean? But just because you're a nice lady and we can have a little small talk, don't mean I'm going to let that go. Because there's like 11 people in the class in a relatively small room, so when you say something, everybody can hear. Praying not going to help. You know what I said? I said, praying always helps.
That's right.
Right? She said, what are you going to ask for? You going to ask for strength? I said, oh, yeah, you can ask for strength. I said, that's right. And at that time, the trainer who was walking out, setting up something outside the room, comes walking in, and he says to me, he goes, look at that, He said, and I didn't go to no doctor. He came over to me, gave me a high five. I said, that's right, prayer helps. He didn't hear the other part, but he just came along at that time, flexing his knee, and saying, yeah, and I didn't go to no doctor, you know. And he came over to give me a high five, and I said, yeah, prayer helps, doesn't it? We have help. And see, the world want to tell you you don't have no help. Well, tell me prayer don't help. And the world want to tell you you have no help. But you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Bible says he's a helper.
Yeah.
So forget what the world says. And when they want to say stuff, Let me speak the truth over your life, right? Let God be true and every man a liar. Prayer ain't going to help. Prayer don't help. You know that's the enemy. Some saying something like that. Prayer always helps. Amen. So he's our helper. Amen. And he's our intercessor, counselor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. It says in verse 17, even the spirit of the truth. Amen. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Are those words true? Yes, they are. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit does dwell in us now. Amen. No more shall be. He does. But Jesus is speaking at the time of what was going to come. And if Jesus said it, it's going to happen. And right now we know, amen, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. So this word is true for us today. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Amplified says, I will not leave you as orphans. Comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. See, that's good news right there, right? See, because see, at any given time, because of things going on in our lives, we may feel comfortless. Like sometimes you don't want anybody to say, no. You know, sometimes you just want to feel bad. You don't want to be comforted. You know, sometimes you want to as you get more mature in Christ, you have less and less of those times. But we can all relate to sometimes where you sort of felt a little like, you know, you want to put it on a little bit. Be the victim. Be the poor one. Woe is me. You know what I mean? And you don't want anybody telling you anything. And I don't want to hear that right now. People come encouraging you with the word. You ever have somebody tell you they didn't want to hear the word? That's when you know they're out there. Especially when they're believing, they know the word is true. I don't want to hear that right now. How can you not want to hear the word? A believer. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. But you don't want to hear the word. That means you don't want to walk in faith. Right? So, please, Lord, forgive us, because we've all done that.
Yeah.
We've all done that. But listen, comfortless, desolate, that's like just empty. You ever felt empty? Mm-hmm. I don't have no more to give. You feel empty.
Yeah.
Bereaved. I mean, heartbroken, sad. Ever been there?
Yeah.
Forlorn. I mean, you just like resigned that your situation never going to change. And helpless. But Jesus said this, I'm not going to leave you that way. What's that say to anybody who's never feeling like that? In Jesus' mind, that's temporary.
Yes.
What you're going through is temporary because he said, I'm not going to leave you that way. But somebody needs to rejoice right now that if you're feeling that way now, you ain't going to be feeling that way for long. But Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you that way.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not leaving you that way. What he said? I'm not leaving you that way. But he said, I'll come to you. Jesus is wonderful. I'm not going to leave you that way. Come to my office tomorrow and we can talk. See, Jesus don't say that. He said, I'm not going to leave you that way. I will come to you. Right? You know how we say when we help people? They need to come to us. Sometimes we demand people get themselves together and then we can talk. Jesus said, you stay that way if you want to. I'll come to you and I'm going to fix you. Because I'm not going to leave you that way. Amen. And so if we ever feel this way, understand something. It's temporary. Because Jesus is not going to leave you that way. Now the question is, do we want to stay that way? But if we want to stay that way, Jesus is not going to over, you know, God does not override the will of man. Because back in the Garden of Eden, when he said to Adam, you can eat of every tree here, except the tree right here, for the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Can't eat from that tree. So what's he saying? You got to make a choice.
I could have kept you from that tree. But I'm putting it right there in the center of the garden. I'm telling you, don't eat from it. Now, you decide. Right? He gave free will to man, and God's not going to take it back. That's why we have to receive Jesus. God don't make us receive Jesus. We have to exercise choice. So here's the thing. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you that way. But as he says that, he's not going to overcome our will. So if we choose to stay that way, guess who we can't point the finger at? You can't point it at God. But he said, I won't leave you that way. But if we say to him, but I want to stay this way, he'll say, be it unto you according to your But God gives us a way out. Amen. And if we can just get in agreement and in alignment with him, we won't stay that way. Right? And think about that. That goes to anything else. If we're sick, we got to get in agreement and alignment with him. By his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. You take this sickness away from me. That's what he says. And sometimes you got to say that for a long time. And I don't know why at some point it finally kicks in. I remember one time I was struggling with my back, lower back pain. And I'm just confessing and, confessing every day and still coming home having to lay out on the floor. There was times I couldn't do anything but lay out on the floor. Couldn't sit in a chair. And then I remember one day driving to the train station. And, I'm in my car sometimes and I'm in that low little, that's when I had Wilma, the Saturn. I named her Wilma. Because she was reliable, like Fred Flintstone's wife, Wilma. But she wasn't, she might not have been that much to look at. But she was reliable. So she was Wilma, And so I'm sitting in Wilma, right? And I used to have to sometimes just confess, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm here. By the stripes of Jesus, my back was hurting, man. Mm-hmm. And this one day, I'm driving, and I had just hit 206. And I said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm here. And there was something on the inside of me that clicked that said, there it is. I'll never forget that time. And then it finally was gone. And why is that? I don't know. But at some point, when you just don't give up, the thing that you're believing for, there's a time appointed for you to have it. And so we just got to keep staying on the word. Even when the circumstances don't seem like they change one bit, just got to keep saying it. And that's the fight of faith right there. Mm-hmm. Because, your circumstances are saying, it's not happening, but you have to say something back.
Yes.
And you don't say back anything other than the word of God. Because it's only the word of God that's going to change the circumstance. And why it takes time, I don't know, but you got to keep saying it. Keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. So, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And so we need to just say, I'm getting in agreement with you, Lord. I'm getting in agreement. And God will bring us out. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so now let's go to verse 19, because this is what we're supposed to be talking about. But how many of you know the Word of God is good? That sometimes before you get to the thing you want, there's some good stuff in front of you.
Yes.
And you can't leave off the good stuff. And then you find out you're talking about the whole thing. And you only want to talk about one verse. So I didn't want to talk about verse 19. But the stuff in front of him is good. All right, so let's look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. So Jesus said, because I live. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to understand that Jesus is alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if Jesus is not alive, guess what? Neither are we. He said, because I live, you live.
Right.
So I mean what? If you conclude he's not living, then neither are you. So is Jesus alive? We have to conclude without a shadow of a doubt. That's right.
Yes.
He's at the right hand of the Father, just as the Word said. He got out, amen, they put him in that tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Came around, showed himself to the disciples for 50 days, and after that, he ascended to the Father. He's alive. Amen. And he said, because I'm alive, ye shall live also. Now this is what I want to talk about in the last few minutes. Right. So, but if Jesus is alive, what kind of life, and okay, if Jesus is alive, and because he lives, we live, what kind of life do we live? I believe we have to live the life that Jesus lived. Because him living and us living are linked. Because I live, you live. So, if because you live, Jesus, I live, then I believe that the life I'm living must be of the same quality of the life that you're living.
Yeah.
Because my living is tied to your living.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I gotta have the same kind of life you got. I'm about to say you got. God said, try to show that as if you went to school for more than 3 days. That you weren't always absent from English class. Right? But we have to have the same kind of life Jesus. If because he lives, I live, then that means that the life that he lives is giving me life. And isn't that the truth? Isn't he the true vine and we're the branches? And we're connected to him? Is the branch living a different kind of life than the vine? How can it? When it's getting life from the vine.
Mm-hmm.
So the same life that's in the vine must be working its way up to the branches.
That's right.
Right? And so the life that Jesus is living has to be the same kind of life I'm living. Mm. Or put another way, it's got to be the same kind of life that I'm supposed to be living. Because I got to say this. There's too many times when I look at my life, no way in the world Jesus living like this.
Right?
Come on, we're honest. There's some time we look, we got, and you look at the way you living, the way you thinking, the way you talking, the way you're going about your day, Jesus don't live like that. How does Jesus live? What kind of life Jesus has? I have to believe that when Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly, that if he came that we might have that life, that's the life he has. Jesus has abundant life. And he said that in John 10 and 10. Right? I'm not even going to talk about the thief tonight because he's defeated. We ain't talking about him. But Jesus says in the second part of John 10 and 10, I am come that they might have life and that they may have it, life, more abundantly. So, the kind of life that we're supposed to have in Jesus, since he lived, we live, we're supposed to have an abundant life. And if you look at the Amplified, gotta love it. That they may have and enjoy life. Does that mean we should have an enjoyable life? How many Christians have an enjoyable life? See, if we don't have an enjoyable life, then see, we're not living because he's living. We're living because of something else. Because because I live, you shall live also. That means we should have, right, an enjoyable life. Because that's the life he came to give us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he, how many of you know you can't give what you don't have?
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
You can't give what you don't have. So Jesus said, I came to give you an abundant life. What must he have? An abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that abundant life is one that's enjoyable. I tell you this, I may not have, you know, a life that, you ever see that, there's a commercial for some beer, I don't even know what it is, but it's like, maybe probably Budweiser or something, where the guy goes in to some, you know, he thinks it's just an ordinary thing, his friends are taking him out, and then the door opens up, and it's this big giant party, and Arnold Schwarzenegger playing ping pong, you know what I mean, and they, like, he goes on this whole big adventure. And they try to say, you never know what's going to happen when you drink this beer. Yeah, you got that right. You never know what's going to happen. When you get so drunk and get a hangover, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, we may not have that kind of like, you know what I mean? That kind of like the way Hollywood and television try to make it seem like if you're not doing it like this, you're not. I don't have that kind of life, but there are plenty of times where I say to God, Lord, I like this house. Mm-hmm. I like the car you gave me. Amen. I like this and I like that. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It may not be, you know, the stuff that movies are made of, but it's just good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because Jesus came to give us a life to enjoy. That means an enjoyable life. So he said, I come that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So a full life, an overflowing life. So when Jesus said that because I live, you shall live also, guess what kind of life he wanted you to live? One that's enjoyable, one that's full, and one that overflows. Amen. Now, it's not going to overflow like the world. Don't think about it now. Don't take Jesus' word and then try to put it in the context of the world. Don't fit. Right? That's round peg, square hole type stuff. It's not going to fit. You keep it in the realm in which Jesus spoke it. He spoke, he said, the word I speak are spirit and light. So you keep it in the spirit realm. Don't try to put it in the natural realm. Go in your refrigerator and say, my refrigerator is empty. It's supposed to be overflowing. If you get the overflowing life on the inside, your refrigerator, your freezer, your pantry, everything will overflow. But it got to be in you first. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he said, so abundant life. Here's the other thing. Remember that Paul said that in all these things, amen, we are more than conquerors? Amen? I believe that that's also part of the life that we have in Jesus. That more than conquer, meaning we overcome stuff. Mm-hmm. Overcoming life. I like that part, overcoming life. Now, the one part about overcoming life that some people might not like is that to have an overcoming life, there needs to be some stuff you have to overcome. You understand what I mean? You can't have an overcoming life without overcoming some stuff. You can't be more than a conqueror unless you have to conquer some stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you got to conquer it, that means that thing's working against you. You got to conquer a friend. You got to conquer the opposition. Yeah. So if you're more than a conqueror, don't complain about the opposition because that's your opportunity to show that you have an overcoming life. And that you are more than a conqueror. There are some things that we have to show God and show the whole world and show ourselves. We can beat this thing.
Yeah.
I told her weeks ago, amen, that sometimes I tell my wife, you know, I do certain things. I get dressed in the morning. And she said, minding her business. She didn't care a thing about what I'm doing. And I said, why are you rushing? You trying to beat me? Just silly thing. You trying to beat me, getting dressed? You trying to beat me? And then if I win, if I get dressed first, I go beat you. And we laugh, you know. And she said, "You so competitive." But I'm just playing. It's just some, you know, it's just I just play like that, you know what I mean? Beat you. But I tell you what, see, this is why I love God. Yeah, I'm playing. But see, there needs to be a beat you in your spirit. Mm-hmm. Because see, there's some things in life that's trying to beat you.
Yeah.
And you need to be loved, huh? Oh, you trying to beat me? See, that's when you kick into that overcoming life thing. Mm-hmm. You ain't beating me. And then after you finish, you go, beat you. There has to be that kind of stuff. Because the devil is putting all kinds of things in your way with the design to beat you. He wants to defeat you. That's what defeat means. Mm-hmm. I beat you. If we have an overcoming life, we need to be beating some stuff.
Yeah.
We need to be beating temptation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need to be beating, you know, the things that the devil tried to put on us, the chains and the fear. We need to be beating back fear. You can't do that. I'm going to overcome. And you know you have this overcoming life because there's been some things you've overcome. You used to be afraid of some stuff. You ain't afraid of it anymore. Proof of overcoming life in you. Because if you didn't have overcoming life in you, the thing you were afraid of 5 years ago, you'd still be afraid of now. But how many people have testified, I couldn't speak in front of people, but now you can. You overcame.
Yeah.
How did you do that? Because I live, you shall live also. Because that overcoming life, that more than conqueror life, is on the inside of you. But guess what? It's on the inside of you all the time. Tap into that thing. Overcome all kinds of stuff. What other kind of life that we have? Because I live, you shall live also. We have victorious life on the inside of us. Right? Thanks be unto God, it says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Thanks be unto God who always calls us to triumph. Right? He always calls us to triumph. Why? Because that's the kind of life we have. We have the kind of life that is victorious. We're supposed to win.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean you won't suffer some setbacks and some disappointments? Of course not. We are going to suffer those things. But the victory, the victorious life is on the inside of you all the time. It doesn't go away just because on that particular occasion you got the short end. Maybe there was something that didn't click. An instruction God gave you that you didn't quite follow, didn't quite hear all the way, and you did something. Maybe there was something else that's going on. You disobeyed, or amen?
Mm-hmm.
You did part. Let down your nets for a catch. You let down a net. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you know, your boat's almost sinking, or maybe it sank. Because your partner who's supposed to be by, he didn't listen either, and he's on the other side. You know what I mean? God was going to position him to help you. But he didn't listen either. But it doesn't mean that you don't have victory on the inside of you. Victory is always on the inside of you, just waiting to show itself. Amen. Victory is always on the inside of me, just waiting to show itself. Why? That's the kind of life I have in Jesus. Because he lived, I live also. And guess what kind of life I have? A victorious life. An overcoming life, an abundant life, an enjoyable one, a full one, an overflowing one. Two other things, and then we go. We leave. Let's look at Romans 5 and 17. Because I don't want to mess up the scripture. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amplified says that we should reign as kings in life. So, because he, in a sense, through Jesus Christ, amen, by one, Jesus Christ. So, the life that Jesus said, because I live, you live also, is a life where we reign. And we reign as kings. I like that. That means we rule. Kings rule. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Kings rule. in life. Why? Because that's the kind of life Jesus gave us, amen? Because we know Jesus, man. We always say, our God reigns. Well, that's the kind of life Jesus has now. He reigns. So guess what? If he reigns, that's right. Everything Jesus is, we are, because we're in him. He's righteous, we're righteous. Right? So we have a life that we're supposed to reign. That means we're supposed to rule. And you know, these are things we just have to get used to and begin to look for in our own life. Not the barely getting by, scratching and sniffing life. I don't know about the sniffing part, but the scratching, you know, the scratching and clawing life. You know what I mean? That's not the kind of life Jesus said, because I live, you live also. Scratching and clawing and all that stuff. Uh-uh. You rule. You reign in life like a king. Now, we're going to go, well, yeah, those are just some nice words. The only reason why it's nice words is because we're not appropriating them. We have to appropriate it and say, nothing less will do. I'm going to accept no substitute. Amen? Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to say is this. Is that we are to, because he lived, we live also, that we should have satisfying life. Right? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who eats me will neither hunger nor thirst anymore. Know that? How can you hunger not thirst anymore? You're satisfied. Right? You have to be satisfied. And Jesus gives us satisfying life. The psalmist said in Psalm 91, where God was speaking, I shouldn't even say the psalmist said, because David wrote the first, you know, 13 verses of Psalm 91, and then verses 14, 15, 16, God starts talking. And the last thing he says is, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's what God said. So what God he said? Long life, I will satisfy him. So I'm supposed to have a long and a satisfying life in Christ. That's the kind of life because I live, you shall live also. What kind of life you should live? A long and satisfying one. See, to me, we have a choice to make. We can either just go about our life on this earth as if we're not citizens of heaven. Right? And live the way people are living and have the same measuring stick for what our life is supposed to be like. I'm supposed to have 2.7 kids and a white picket fence. I'm supposed to have a swimming pool. By now I'm supposed to have a swimming pool. By now I'm supposed to be in the suburbs. By now I'm supposed to be driving this kind of car. You can do that. But that's living below our standards. Or we can say abundant life, to the full, to the overflows. That's going to go far beyond a swimming pool and all that kind of nonsense to give you some stuff that's on the inside that will manifest itself on the outside. This is not one of those just be happy on the inside while you live in your mama's basement message. No, this is if you get this on the inside of you, stuff on the outside of you is going to change in ways that you can't change if you work 10 jobs working overtime at each one. There's a whole lot of people toiling, you know, trying to get that swimming pool built before the summer comes. And there's other people who are in God, who are just living the abundant life, overcoming life, victorious life, reigning life, a satisfying life, who they seem to get stuff done without a sweat. Because sweat is part of the curse. In the sweat of your brow you shall. What do you say that to Adam? After the curse, amen? After the curse had entered. But for us, we know it's by the sweat of our brow, it's by grace. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, when we see this thing, Jesus said, because he lives, I live also. Let us at this point, especially as we're focusing on the fact that Jesus is alive, let us continually ask ourselves, what kind of life is Jesus living? And am I living that kind of life? Because it will raise our eyes higher than these earthly things. Because if you're going to be considering Jesus, you're going to have to look up. Right? You're going to have to look to see what did he say? What kind of life you're supposed to have? And then you say, that's it. That's the kind of life I'm supposed to have. And so now you walk into your situation on your job and in your community, wherever you are, but you expect these things. You expect these things. Why? Because Jesus is living and his life is flowing through me and it's changing some stuff, y'all. It's changing me and it's changing stuff around me. That's the power of God. And I want to walk in the power of God. You want to walk in the power of God. And God needs more of us to walk in his power these days. Amen? Amen. And so let us be encouraged, amen, as we consider that Jesus is alive. Think about the life he's living and realize that that life is in you.
Amen.
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 That life is in me. I'm supposed to win. So all I got to do is follow my leader. If I follow the leader, I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be reigning. I'm going to be ruling. I'm going to be enjoying life. I'm going to be overcoming stuff. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be looking for challenges. Right? But also looking for that enjoyable thing and spreading it around. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray tonight. Father, to you we give the praise and the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we are so grateful, O God, that the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. And he said, because he lives, we shall live also. And Father, we thank you that we are connected to the true vine. He is our life source, and he is filling us with his life, an overcoming life, an abundant life, a life where we reign and we rule, a satisfying life, a victorious life, a life that just characterizes our wonderful God in heaven. And so, Father, we just look to you now, God, to just strengthen us in our spirit, Lord, to not look to the standards of this world, but, Father God, to always look to the Word of God so that we can know in our hearts, know in our minds, know in our spirits what is rightfully ours in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we give you praise right now, God, for the wonderful life, hallelujah, the wonderful life that you have given us through Christ Jesus. This truly is a wonderful life. And we give you the praise and the thanks for it. Let us walk in it even the more in Jesus' great name. Father, we bless you for your word. We bless you, O God, for your presence. And Father, we bless you by faith for your protection, God. We ask you, O God, to shower us, cover us with your protection as we make our way home out of this place tonight. Father, we thank you that we leave the place without your presence and that you will be with us as we travel over the roadways and give us safe passage. God, we trust in you to do it. With all our heart, we lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge you.
Yeah.
And Father, we thank you that you direct our path straight home. And so for that, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In the Master's name of Jesus, we bless you. Amen.
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 Lord, praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with him.